I've got a list here, Phil, of the names off of the honours board over in the Lions Den for that 81-82 season. It'd be interesting to hear your comments on your teammates on that list.
Well, Steve Mills, of course, he was captain for 3 years, I think, wasn't he? Did he captain the side for 2 or 3 years either side of that? And I can't remember whether it was...
Yes, that's right. He captained for the season before and the season after.
Afterwards, that's right. So he was, and he got his England cap as well, maybe the year after. Mild mannered, okay. Of course, the two names off that list is Mike Nichols and Dick Smith, and when you had Mike Nichols associated with the team, you didn't need to say much, did you? in all honesty, you know, because Mike said it all. Mike wouldn't even have to say anything. He'd come up and growl at you, and you were shot into action, you know. And I'm truly amazed about that. Of course, next on that list is Mike Teague, and what a phenomenon he was. And Gloucester players know, Gloucester people know more about Mike Teague than ever. But we did have a wonderful partnership, Mike Teague, and nearly all the photographs that I've got of myself, Teague would be there in the background, and we just had an understanding of where each other would be. Much like Steve Parslow, of course. Steve Parslow in the centre. Interesting story about Steve Parslow, of course, is that we were talking about that tour that you had to go on. Now, Steve Parslow was a teacher, I believe, and so he was government, employed by the government, as I was as an NHS doctor. And of course, South Africa were blacklisted in that day, and we didn't have approval to go. And in fact, they had to sack me, in fact, from Guildford Hospital. I was coming towards the end of one part of the job, but they couldn't be seen to sponsor me or allow me to have a holiday to go to South Africa. So, in fact, I can't remember, I know Steve Parslow had great difficulty with his being in the public sector. But certainly it was a tour that I wasn't going to miss, so I was quite happy to be sacked and then re-employed, as it were. So certainly Steve Barlow, and then of course Bakes, and he's a good tourist, and I think we better stop the conversation. Maybe if we got time we could go talk about Steve Regonto and John Gadden, of course, and he was the unsung here with Mike Longstaff. Expect Mike is just underneath that. What a phenomenon, you know. Maybe they didn't get international recognition, but certainly from a back row forward, they were everywhere, absolutely everywhere. Teague used to score the tries, but Gaddy and Mike Longstaff were the people who set the platform. Just harking back a little, just something I must say, on my first debut, I think Mike Potter was playing in that game, and Jim Jarrett, and I have distinct memories of being on the ground as an 18-year-old schoolboy, and Jim Jarrett and Mike Potter stood over top of me, fist closed, growling at the opposition, saying, "You touch that lad and that will be the last person you ever touch." And so I just wanted to throw that in. but Gaddy and Mike Longstaff would be that team, people you would die for, the people around you, you know. You just knew that someone would be there to rescue you in that team, and it was often Mike Longstaff and John Gadd who would be there to rescue
you. Even though you as players felt like that about one another, presumably quite a lot of that came from Mike Nichols and Dick Smith.
I think exactly. Mike Nichols instilled that into you before you walked out. I was fortunate enough to play up at London Welsh, and Christ Could We Sing, and Christ Did We Tour Well, but you never felt protected on the pitch, and it's not a nice thing to say, but when you played in that team, you were secure. You were just secure, and you were allowed to be able to flourish, whereas. And even at United Hospitals, you never had that security. We were fantastic players, but you never felt that security. But as you said, Les Jones, you know, what happened to Les? Because he was just here at the right time, wasn't he? And he did exactly what Smithy, you know, told him to. Dick Smith had the tactical awareness. Yes. And I know he wasn't, you know, Dick is obviously a wing forward, but Dick had the tactical awareness and nous to tell us where we should be going and how we should be playing, and Les just followed those instructions accordingly, didn't he? We've obviously got Boyle. Well, again, you don't need to say anything about Boyle, as you say, you know, second top try scorer, and going forward there was no better man, and obviously rewarded with an England cap. Fordy, well, you know, I was fortunate enough to play alongside Peter Butler the boot in the 75, and Fordy was as reliable, wasn't he? I think I don't know, you'd be able to give me the kicking percentages, but I would have thought that season he didn't put many the wrong side of the post.
He just suddenly had a golden period then, didn't he?
But that team made that happen. It made it happen. And Paul Taylor, Not an outstanding, you know, name, but in that team, just did exactly what the team needed, which was you can say, get the ball to me and Moggy, basically.
He was indestructible, wasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, and the thing about I remember about that season was playing out at King's Home with the shed. Okay, and even if things weren't going right, the shed would put us right. You just felt the shed gave us the confidence to put it right on that pitch, and you just knew when the full time whistle came, we would be winning. And you just knew it, and it's just something quite remarkable that I'd never experienced in any other team before, you know, but it would come right. And obviously Mark, well, rock solid, isn't it? You know, and I was fortunate enough to go on and get an England cap, lose an ear in the process, and Mark is you know, I'm really proud to say that Mark's one of our closest friends now. And his wit, you know, Mark always had the wit and the one-liners. He got Moggy, the 500 club. Well, I was just so fortunate to, and you have that mental picture of Moggy, you know, with that Duckham, like, that Duckham ability, wasn't it?
Yeah, just that touch of magic.
Absolutely. And the most unassuming person you could... as you know, I do a little bit with the Legends Lounge. Do you think I can get Moggy to come and speak? You know, he's just a wonderful guy, isn't he? What a team player, yeah. And J.O., John Orwin, of course, he got England honours, RAF at the time, wasn't it? Yeah, and Boyle and Orwin in there. Steve Ashmead, well, if there was anyone who needed to come in, Ashmead was there, wasn't he? And I think he obviously... he would have been quite young at that time, wouldn't he, I guess?
Yeah.
And then, of course, the old man, Bob Clues, who I was fortunate enough to come along with just the right time. And as you know, Bob lives just down the road from me, and I drove him home the other night, and he was kind enough to say he said, Phil, I saw you come into the club, and I knew it was time to step down. And it was just... worked out from a timing perspective.
Well, he'd had a very long career.
500 games, isn't it? Exactly. Yeah.